Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right. And so I went in to WWE this week, and maybe like half an hour, 45 minutes into Raw, I just had this like oomph of sadness.
Yeah.
Because it was like All In happened.
Yep.
As this like shot in the arm to the very nature and core of pro wrestling.
Like this is what pro wrestling could be.
And it was like, I feel like it's been answered with a resounding like, cool. Anyway, the thing about Roman Reigns is you really need to focus. And I'm like, do you think Vince watched the show?
All In?
Yeah.
God, no.
But
absolutely
like,
not.
Okay, do you think Triple H watched the show?
He might. I think he might have watched clips.
Okay.
Probably more from like the Cody NWA championship.
Well, like as you go down the card, you're like, okay, you know, did John Cena watch the show? Did Dolph Ziggler watch the show?
Cena, no. Ziggler, I'm gonna say clips again.
Did Velveteen Dream watch the show?
Oh, he watched it twice. At least, if not three times.
Yeah.
That's a fun game. If we don't really have a whole, like, again, we just said before we started recording, thank goodness there's a card to talk about because we have nothing really else to say. If we didn't have a card, we'd probably just go down the entire roster and talk about what they
thought about
how probable it was that they watched All In.
Last week we talked about All In. Now we talk about people who watched All In. Hypothetically,
what are the chances that The Undertaker has seen the Joey Ryan segment?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So, but I wonder because I didn't watch TNA when it was quote unquote good. You know, that heyday that like, oh, this is genuine alternative WWE stuff, this Kurt Angle Sting.
Yeah.
You know, main event mafia, blah, 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 all that stuff that people were. I mean, once I tuned in, there were still sparks of really good things. There were really great moments.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed watching it, but it was past the Monday Night War We Got Hogan attempt.
Right, yeah.
Where they never got back to.
When they were trying to be so much of something that they really aren't.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just. These people. I wonder what it was like to be watching at a time and be like, this is it. This is forcing competition. This is forcing creativity, just like the Monday Night Wars. Here comes. And then to tune in to, you know, WWE the next week and go, cool. Anyway, the thing about John Cena that you really have to know is da 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 da. And,
well, you know, it's challenging to honestly sit through both, through All In and WWE's current product. Because, again, you have All In, which is such a new, groundbreaking thing, and you're being offered up so many of these, like, fresh new faces and all that stuff, where on the WWE side of things, we're supposed to be excited about a feud featuring guys that were at the top of their game more than 10 years ago with Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy, you know? Like, that match is something that I would probably be sort of excited about in 2008.
I don't think... Like, part of it is they both started so young that, they're, you know, not necessarily in the prime, these are the new faces of the future.
Right.
But this isn't Hulk Hogan versus Ric Flair in TNA, where you're like, oh, no.
No, you've
waited too long and it's turned.
No, it's nothing like that. Like, they both, like, you know, especially Randy, you know, they both can still go in the ring, but it's at the point where they've been around so long, and they've been, especially with Randy's case, like, just been oversaturated with, you know, with the WWE's product that there's just nothing new that they can do that's interesting.
But how am I more invested in Book Flip than I am in... For example, this match, this Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy, two genuine titans of the industry, two guys that have put on amazing classic matches, two guys who have been at the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And why am I so meh on this? I mean, I know the answer. I'm not like, what's going on? No.
How are you doing this,
not even bad of a job, this just mediocre of a job, this limp wetness of a job?
Well, you know, first of all, long-term booking. Mm-hmm. Like, this has been something that's been going on for, like, what, a year or even more so? For that, they were, you know, the whole flip, especially, storyline.
Yeah.
B, the actual, like, dramatic points. It was covered in being the elite in, like, a couple-minute segments in a, like, 12-minute video, if that. So you're not, like, beaten over the head with it in, like, long 20-minute segments every
right.
week. And then you had, leading up to it, match after match after match with consequences and potential rewards for this, you know, for this storyline where the drama is building up, where, like, if Flip wins this match, he's in. You know, if Flip wins that match, he's in. He loses that one, loses that one, loses that one. You know, both the Bucks are on board, but Cody still, you know, thumbs down on him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's this long, drawn-out thing, and also helps that Flip Gordon is absurdly talented.
Mm-hmm.
He might possibly think the world's flat, but, you know, that's not pertinent to wrestling.
Let's hope that's not the case and move on.
But it's just, it's good storytelling, and it's not beating you over the head with it.
Yeah.
You know? WWE, and it's their own YouTube show. It's their own show that they're promoting.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any limits. They don't have anybody telling them, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. And even so, like, they don't have these confines. But at the same time, they're not, like, it's not really an outlandish story. It's not, like, you know, something outrageous or whatever. It's just a guy trying to get on a show.
Yeah.
You know? So it's, like, this creative freedom that feels, you know, like, man, they're doing such a great job of it. When you think about it, it's a very simple storyline that you can do anywhere.
But, so, book Flip, let's even take out the Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton thing.
Okay.
And put in, book Flip is very similar to, is John Cena going to have a match on WrestleMania this year?
Right.
Up to in the fact that he tried several different ways. Before calling out The Undertaker, he tried several different things where he tried to win various matches because they had match at WrestleMania stipulations, Royal Rumble, he was in Elimination, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, and in both cases, it's good to point out, in both cases, you pretty much assumed that they were going to be on the show.
Yes.
Both in Flip's case, and especially in Cena's case, we're like, oh, of course he's going to be in there.
Right.
And it's harder to, in that specific example, it's harder to really get on board with Cena when he took most of the year off to do other projects, you know, which is fine. And all of a sudden, around the Royal Rumble, he's suddenly worried that he might not make WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I believe that's when it started.
Give or take, yeah.
And then suddenly he's super interested. He's like, I got to have a match at WrestleMania. And it's like, okay, if you were that worried about it, you should have been here, like, you know, a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Within storyline. And so from, like, this brief window between January and April, John Cena was super concerned about it, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas Flip wanted to be on board with this from the get-go, like, a year and a half out.
Right.
You know? And it just became this ongoing thing. I'm not saying, like, it's an interesting way to book Cena for WrestleMania.
It is.
And, you know, I liked the commitment to, like, him actually being in the crowd through, like, what, a third, if not half?
Yeah.
It was, like, a really big chunk, not include like including the kickoff show, so that's two additional hours, you know? So, you know, I like the commitment in it, and it's one of the better things that they've done lately, but I don't know, like, it didn't seem as committed.
I think part of the problem is I knew Cena was going to be on the show, and I knew Flip was going to be on the show.
Right.
But I knew Cena was going to be on the show, and I also knew how he wasn't going to be on the show. Okay. I knew he wasn't going to be doing X, Y, and Z because those spots were being saved for Roman or whoever.
And if he wanted the spot bad enough, we know WWE would have made him like the host or something.
Right.
You know, like,
well, and it's not even that. It's like when Flip would have these matches, the opportunity, mm-hmm. we didn't know the story. We knew he was going to be on there, but we didn't know the story of how he was going to be on there.
Right.
And so each match, like, this could be the moment. This could be what he does. This could be his triumph. This could be, or where he wins Cody over for whatever reason. But with Cena, Cena's like, I'm going to go for the Royal Rumble. I'm like, well, we know you're not going to win the Royal Rumble because we know this guy's going to win the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And da 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 da. We know the rumors of this is going to win the Royal Rumble. And he's like, well, and then about that time, we're like, they're doing Cena and Undertaker.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay. And then Cena's like, I'm going to do the Chamber. And we're like, no, because the Taker's not in Chamber and we know this already.
Right.
And so part of it is, because that was a somewhat attempt at long-term
sure.
storytelling.
As long as WWE seems to be comfortable with
yes.
these days.
Well, and Rumble to WrestleMania is a chunk.
You know, it is.
Everything
yeah.
from the Rumble onward is building towards mm-hmm. WrestleMania, and you have that destination in mind. But with Cena and with WWE, I know what it is. I didn't know how Flip was going to be on the show. I didn't know about Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So many of these matches, I didn't know how they were going to end.
Yeah.
And that, I feel like, has so much more weight, even when it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, they're in character, but they're not in storyline.
Yeah.
There's no reason for this guy to face this guy other than the out-of-kayfabe reason of this is a big show, this
yeah.
is a big independent moment.
And that's why a lot of shows, or a lot of those matches, ended with, you know, all the wrestlers involved, handshakes or, you know, raising the hand of your opponent or whatever. Like, they all
yeah.
ended pretty much like that. You know, there was no reason for the six guys to be fighting at the end of the show.
Right.
You know, other than the fact that it was a dream match and they all wanted it to happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were some times where, like, yeah, there was really no way that Cody wasn't going to win that. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But there's stuff like that.
I get that.
It didn't take away from the moment, you know.
But, and you know what? I will admit, I don't follow Being the Elite as religiously as you do.
Sure.
In part because mm-hmm. it is, it's still, even with its plot and its extensive stuff,
yeah.
it's still, more than anything else, a video diary.
Sure, yeah.
Which puts it into background mode for me.
Right. Yeah,
and that's fine. And
although I will suggest that everyone watch the latest one that was kind of behind the scenes. It's
yes,
45-ish minutes, but still,
it was very interesting.
That, and I will suggest, because after All In, I went back and watched the 10 Pounds of Gold series for mm-hmm. NWA. Really good, and it kind of gives you a good idea, because it doesn't just focus on whoever the champion is. It focuses on everyone that works within NWA. You
yeah.
know? All the guys that previously held the title and some other guys here and there consider themselves part of the, you know, NWA.
Right.
So that's super interesting to me.
But you have, even if I've not caught up on Beat the Elite, even if I haven't watched every episode.
Yeah.
I felt like I knew where the points to be excited in the show were.
Yeah.
Because I was excited.
Yeah.
Watching Raw and SmackDown this week both, I felt very distant to mm-hmm. the exciting points. Even in the matches that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
When Becky attacks Charlotte, I'm like, oh, that's an exciting moment. I see that and I acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like I'm watching it to acknowledge it and maybe to analyze it more than to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, that feels a little pretentious, but at the same time, there are these other things where I'm
yeah.
like, nope, 100% marking up. And WWE can do that.
Yes, they can.
I'm not even knocking WWE's product so much as I'm knocking WWE's product right now.
Yeah, like specifically within like the last few weeks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there have been plenty of moments.
Well, I mean, here's, I'll borrow a line from you. Here's the thing, okay? First of all, watching WWE's weekly product, we're doing so because of the podcast. Let's be honest.
Okay, yeah.
You know, we're watching WWE as a chore. We're watching All In basically to have fun.
As a
treat. To enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know? And it doesn't help that we're watching them build up to a show that is, at best, the third most important show that they're promoting right now. Because they're covering Evolution more.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been put shoving down Super Show down or whatever down our throats with like every segment or every week is devoted to a Triple H Undertaker match that no one cares about. Like, was anyone clamoring for this match for them to have one final match? Nobody.
They had the best final match.
Yeah, with at WrestleMania 28. Like, it was fantastic. And again, that was really because the year before that was kind of a stinker.
Well, it was flawed and it was externally flawed and
right,
but the storytelling
in their match at WrestleMania 28 was so good that I'm really like why ruin that?
No, 28 is
that's why I'm like I'm kind of bummed out that there's so many like for the first time in how long has it been since HBK retired? 10 years?
Yeah, going on it.
Yeah,
jeez.
In the decade that it's been since HBK retired. I am now disappointed that there are so many talks about him coming out of retirement.
Yeah.
For a throwaway, money-grabbing tag team match at the next Saudi Arabia show. Mm-hmm. Which is, by the way, pretty much right after Evolution.
Yeah.
So the whole, like, you know, we're at the forefront of pushing women and everything is complete BS trying to, like, grab it. Attention.
It is a clash. It is a every time that they're putting both of these back to back.
Oh, okay. I will push it one step further that it's a clash. Mm-hmm. It is straight up hypocrisy.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Yeah, like this again, there it's you know the classic like doing something with my left hand while you're not paying attention to what my right hand's doing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it is infuriating. But still, they're expecting us to be excited for this Hell in a Cell pay-per-view event. When they can't even be bothered to concentrate solely on that right now.
So, we go through this every year with Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. There's always this issue of the Hell in a Cell should be, the feud ender should be the match to do it when no other match can do it. And now that it's a pay-per-view, mm-hmm. we have this issue where, oh, I guess you guys will go in the cell because you're feuding right now. And you're mm-hmm. like, what? They don't... This isn't where they are in their feud. Especially with something like Braun and Roman, where you're like, surely...
This is the start of their feud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, somebody is... The next week, somebody's going to have to say, like, you may have survived the cell with me, but tomorrow, you know, next time... Strap match.
Right.
Or something else equally stupid.
I mean, you know what would be good in Hell in Cell? Joe and AJ.
Joe and AJ would be great. Because
they're, like, by far, the hottest feud aside from, like, Becky and Charlotte, which also should be in a cage.
Yeah. I'm already ready for that one to be in a cell.
Except we're getting Braun and Roman, mm-hmm. which is the beginning of their feud, and we're getting... Randy and Jeff Hardy. A few that, I guess I could put the in a cell, but at the same time, who cares?
Yeah. A feud that I continue to forget about.
Yeah.
Like that's the one time I can't be mad at WWE commentators mm-hmm. for constantly reminding me.
Yeah.
Because I am just as constantly forgetting that it's happening.
Sure. Yeah. 100%.
Every time they do something around, I'm like, I get it. You won't stop talking about him. I know what's going on with Roman. Mm-hmm. But every time they talk about Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton, I'm like, oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I had forgotten.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and do the card.
Yeah, if we must.
It's there.
That it is. We will start with... It's weird. There is no kickoff match. At all. But granted, this is only Wednesday.
Yes, there will be
that
a kickoff.
We're recording this, and we're doing this before the storm mm-hmm. Completely floods us out. We got the Raw Tag Team Championship match. Ziggler and McIntyre versus Dan Bros and Rollins.
I mean, are you assuming whoever wins this loses the cage match?
I can see
these
that
little
happening.
Groups.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I hadn't put a whole lot of thought into this. I forgot that they even were having a match against each other. Yeah, I don't know. Like, didn't they already have a rematch this past week? Everything's blending together, I promise you.
No, it is, and that's the problem. It's
yeah,
like,
nothing feels special.
Nothing feels special, nothing feels exciting. Even this match feels like a taste sampler of this other match. And I have argued and begged for years now that there be a through line through these matches. The, you know, argument being that one episode, that one WrestleMania where the McMahons were involved in like five things.
Yeah.
But have this faction that is, you know, in several matches trying to do several things, trying to work together. And I feel like they're kind of doing that now and doing it so badly.
See, okay. So I'm pondering this while you were saying all that. Has WWE...
You weren't listening to me?
I was listening. You talking about it made me continually, like, wonder something.
Okay.
Have they gotten this bad at... Like, have they gotten really bad at doing this? Or are we just, like, desensitized grumpy old men at this point?
I don't know, and I'm concerned about that.
Right? Like, but, like, the fact that me and you are kind of, like, seeing eye to eye on this makes me feel better that, okay, maybe it's... Maybe I'm just not being old and cynical. Maybe it's just they're bad at it. Also, Desensitized Grumpy Old Man is a good title for this episode.
Well, like, part of the reason we started this was we're going to do a positive spin.
Yeah.
We're going to look at the good things that are happening.
We haven't been very positive about WWE stuff.
No, but part of it was we're going to do this for WWE. Because there was always the, you know, smarky guy that was like, You need to watch real wrestling, which is Ring of Honor, like back then, which is Ring of Honor, and like, you know,
or anything that isn't WWE. Basically.
Yeah, and you know, you're like, oh, I'm really excited about, you know, this happening. Yeah. You're like, oh, you're excited about Tyler Black because Tyler Black is his name,
right?
And you're like, no, it's cool. Now we're gonna. Oh, you're excited about Bryan Danielson. I don't know who this Daniel Bryan you're talking about. That's a crazy nobody person name. But I am a fan of the independent wrestling star. Da da. And you're like,
I just had a flashback of a very specific commenter on Inside Pulse from back in the day. That refused to call anyone by their wrestling names.
Yeah.
Yeah, and our whole thing was like, no, there are things to enjoy in WWE.
Yes.
You're just not like looking hard enough, or you're just being cynical to be cynical.
Which is why I don't want to sit here and be like, independent wrestling is great, you know.
Well, I mean,
All In is perfect, and
but at
Cody,
the same time,
his true name is Cody, and this Cody Rhodes character is a sham with a stupid mustache. And
all right, there was nothing stupid about that mustache. No, because we're just being honest. We're being truthful, you know. If a show is good, no matter what company or independent, you know, organization, whatever, puts it on, then we give them credit. If the show is bad, no matter who it is, we, you know, we'll call them out.
I will be honest. At this moment, I am expecting bad things from main roster WWE.
Yeah.
And
that's just not being cynical. That's just from witnessing what's been going on the last few weeks.
Well,
or last few months, I should say. Or the last year, really.
you have moments because you have these. You have several great, fantastic moments.
What was it? Last year, for the most of the year, like, Braun and Roman had a really entertaining feud.
I
enjoyed the you know, the crap out of. Even though Roman Reigns did technically try to kill him.
but
he's a good guy for some reason.
But this is the same company
that
is putting on these two feuds. So you have Charlotte and Becky, where Becky turns and it goes completely sharp left turn from what they were expecting.
Right.
And I can argue about like, oh, you were stupid to ever think this would work. But moving past that, they did a thing. Mm-hmm. It got a completely different reaction.
Yeah.
They tried to course correct 1 week. It bombed horribly. And they went, wait a minute. Okay. Becky is effectively tweener or their faces with different perspectives or however you want to however you want to argue it.
We read that or we heard about that. But is attacking Charlotte from like a disguise from the crowd? Is that that's heel? That's okay. Heel.
I'm not going to go so far as to say that's heel. That is...
Chris Jericho did it a lot, and he's mostly a heel.
Okay, but, like, that is not as despicable or diabolical enough to be like, that is a exclusive to the heel move.
If it's Jericho... Okay. I think I've mapped it out. If you're wearing a luchador mask, it's heel. If you're wearing a black wig, tweener.
It's... She is going to be the hard edge, rough and tumble.
Sure.
Doesn't necessarily play by your hustle, loyalty, and respect. Eat your prayers, say your vitamins type of thing.
Eat your prayers, yes.
Yeah. Eat your prayers, say your vitamins.
Sure.
But she is... But what we're not having is the promo where she's like, I can't wait to get out of, you know, insert current Bro-dunk town here. Yeah. We're not having that. We're not having, like, Charlotte sucks worse than your barbecue.
Right. Or, you know, man, I have more wins than insert sports team.
Yeah.
You know?
So we're not having that. We're not having...
Yeah.
She is doing moves and moments and attacks that if they elicit boos or they elicit cheers, fine, but they are consistent with... The character turn. It's not necessarily a heel turn, but the character turn that she has had.
The progression of the character that...
Right.
Yeah.
And they have dropped the, we're making this character a heel feel. Mm-hmm. Which is good.
Which is great.
Which is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Which means she is beholden to the rules of the character and not the rules of face or heel.
Right. And then you have this Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman thing, mm-hmm. where Braun Strowman does... very near the same thing
mm-hmm.
where, oh, Braun Strowman's going to get angrier and meaner and a little more gray area with the rules and, you know, beat the crap out of this guy. And then when it's like, whoa, we love it when he does that. That's why we started cheering for him in the first place.
Yeah.
They're doubling down on this. No, he's a heel. Here are his heel things. Here are all his heel little buddies that they're going to be a little heel faction, and he's a heel, and boo him.
Yeah.
And how do you not see these parallels where you're like, okay, for here and on my cold, dead grave on this one?
Because of its proximity to Roman.
And I know that's the answer, but I hate it.
I know. I hate it, too. It's like they're willing... WWE, they are willing to concede to the fans if it's something that they don't care as much about.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really care about the reaction that Becky Lynch is going to... Which is weird because they seem to care so much about the reaction that Charlotte's
getting. Well, the thing is, Charlotte is the Roman Reigns of the women's division.
Right.
Just this, like...
But it seems like they are... See, Roman, they'll have Roman do whatever they want. They don't really care what the fans do. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Charlotte, I think the fact that Charlotte was starting to get booed because of Becky, that's when they course-corrected. Because they want... I really believe that they want, more than anything, the crowd to cheer for Charlotte no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So at that point, they're like, okay, well, maybe we need to change up something with Becky, heel Becky, the new Becky.
Yeah.
So that Charlotte doesn't get booed by proximity. Spoiler alert, Charlotte's going to get booed.
Charlotte's going to get booed, but...
Because I haven't seen any female in WWE, WWF get this kind of reaction with their clothes still on.
Yeah. That Becky's getting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling, and it's just so weird for, you know, us to be talking, you know, so negatively about the product, even though we have a character that is so naturally over with mm-hmm. the crowd, and it just shows just, like, the weirdness of this company, you know? Like, because I'm loving what Becky's doing.
I am, too. Absolutely.
And I really hope they don't they don't murder this momentum in the alley like they did with Braun Strowman because they murdered his momentum.
Yeah.
He was easily the most universally liked male superstar on the roster.
Yes.
You know? I don't know if his merch sales was anything that could get close to Roman or whatever. But when it came to a weekly reaction,
it was Braun
Strowman. Nobody was getting that reaction that he was getting.
Yeah.
And WWE sacrificed that because they stubbornly want... They can't have a face versus face match, you know? They can't build a good storyline between the two of them, both being a good guy, quote-unquote.
Yeah. That's part of what makes it even more mind-boggling is I'm not even asking to turn Roman heel.
No.
I'm not asking to get that title off of Roman. I'm not asking for Roman to go away. Like, and I feel like smaller, angrier, pettier versions of me would happily make an entire podcast that called The Reason Roman is the Worst Thing That Ever Happened. Roman will never be great. Roman is terrible for reasons A through M. And this is why he needs to be fired immediately and be banished, you know, to whatever high school gym he should be in. But I don't think any of that, and I'm not even asking for that. It's just, why couldn't this be a face versus face?
Yeah.
Why can you not course correct this as to two guys who have very legitimate claims to this title?
He literally has the Money in the Bank briefcase. Like, and he even did the face thing where, like, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, this briefcase is going to be cashed in and Money in the Bank, so me and you can have a one-on-one match.
Yeah.
Like, did that 4 weeks ahead of the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very face move to do.
It is.
It is just so, lack of a better word, frustrating to see that this Roman Reigns thing is this stubborn hill that they are more than willing to die on and watch them sacrifice so many good things in the name of it, you know?
Everything.
Everything.
That's like, the what did it cost? Everything?
Yeah, that's
this
it.
This is it.
Yeah. Like,
the legacy of Brock Lesnar, altar of Roman.
We talk about
Undertaker's WrestleMania legacy, altar of Roman.
Why do you think they rely on so many part-timers, so many big names like Brock Lesnar and whatever, for these mega shows that they're doing now to get these large number of crowds into it?
Because they have Randy Orton and Jeff Hardy, and they can't put together a cohesive storyline where those guys are going to fight in a Hell in a Cell that I can even remember, much less care about.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, they rely so heavily on these big names from years ago, decades ago. Rely so heavily on those guys, and everyone's like, well, they just don't have any stars today that can draw. Because they murder their momentum in an alley. Braun could be that top-tier guy. Maybe he couldn't. Maybe he would fizzle out. I don't know. They just kill it before they get a chance.
Yes.
Like, they did it with Ryback, who I probably was going to fizzle anyway. You know?
That's the thing is, like, I want to go back to Ryback and be like, did they ruin it or was it Ryback's fault?
Right.
And I was like, I want it to be Ryback's fault because I want to be like, Ryback, here's some issues with you. But I can't even be like, you know, that mad because I'm like, maybe it's not. Maybe he does have a legitimate complaint on Tumblr.
Yeah. And, like, you know, it's reasons like this that people are willing to leave WWE.
Yes.
You know? It's things like this. Things like this cause guys like CM Punk to walk away from wrestling, period. And don't even want to go on the indies.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if it's frustrating for us, I can't imagine how frustrating it is for everyone that works at the company, including Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Because at some point, even he has to recognize that this could be so much better if the company, Vince, would just get out of their own way.
Yeah.
So that being said,
I'm
going to say Ziggler and McIntyre retain.
Okay.
Match number two. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I think Becky's going to win this
one. And another thing. No,
I think Becky's going to win because they want Charlotte to be chasing it into Evolution so that Charlotte can hold it high at Evolution.
I mean, I believe Charlotte's going to hold the championship high no matter what. But I don't want... Her number of, like, championship reigns is getting a little too steep right now.
Yeah, but she's a flair.
I know. But it's like, can we, like, space these out a little bit?
But she's a flair.
You're right, and that's why I'm picking Becky Lynch, too.
Barring injury, she's getting 16 title reigns.
Oh,
I will bet you money.
She will get 17. I'm willing to bet that. Now we got.
She will get 17 if Ric Flair is still healthy enough to come down and cry in celebration of her 17th title reign.
Ah, crap! Yeah, they're gonna have to speed those numbers up then. Hell in a Cell match: Randy Orton versus Jeff Hardy.
A friggin' coin,
like,
man.
Who? Sorry, I didn't say that with enough defiance. Who cares? Seriously, if you are sitting here on the edge of your seat, just worried about who's going to win this match, man, I can't wait until you start Driver's Ed next week. Because, like, it just, oh my good, like, how, yeah, who cares? Randy Orton. I'll go with Randy Orton.
I'll go with Jeff Hardy.
I don't.
Some variety is the spice of life.
Okay. They're starting this feud now, so it's not as conspicuous because both the guys are just looking for a payday in Australia. Anyway, spiking the mic levels. The Raw Women's Championship, Ronda Rousey versus Alexa Bliss. Is Ronda.
Ronda Rousey.
100% Ronda. Man, I can't wait for them to, like, build up to where she finally loses a match. Because then we'll be cooking. Then we'll, be like, all right.
Then we'll have things to talk about.
Yeah, then Ronda will have something to, you know, be angry about. It's hard to be all that angry when, you know, you'll win everything.
Well, and you have Ronda, who is, you know, in kayfabe, this beyond God level tier. Mm-hmm. And you have Alexa Bliss, who is the one other person who can fight her.
Yeah.
And you have Nia Jax, kind of a little bit, who's like, well, she's bigger, so maybe she has a fighting chance. And then you have friggin' Bayley and Sasha, who forgot there was a championship in this company.
Right.
Like, why isn't anybody else?
Well, first of all, Nia Jax has been on the show in forever.
I know, but I'm just saying, like Raw's got nobody other than these two.
Yeah.
To have any acknowledgement of this.
Question.
Okay.
Why is Natalya? Like, is she just Ronda Rousey's avatar, like, that can actually wrestle on WWE every week so Ronda doesn't have to? Like, is that really the why they're in such close proximity? Because I see really no.
Yeah, I mean,
like, I don't see, like, it's not killing, but it's not, like, enhancing the storyline.
I think it's, and it's not, they are trying, it's a have your cake and eat it too moment, where they don't want Ronda, they've gone, you know, all over themselves, tripping around, be like, Ronda's not a part-timer, Ronda's here, Ronda is a full-fledged member of the roster. It is not a Brock Lesnar situation. This is Ronda is now a WWE superstar. She is here every week. She is a da-da-da-da. Right. But they also want that, oh, it's a pay-per-view, and it's got that big match pay-per-view feel, and that's when, and that's because Ronda's fighting.
Yeah.
So they're trying to have this cake and eat it, too, where they're like, Ronda's here in the corner of Natalya, and Natalya's going to be doing the wrestling part.
And I understand, like, Natalya's also there to, like, have some, like, backup on the mic, because Ronda really struggles with that. But there's so many other better options for that. Not even, like, Paul Heyman or anything, but just, like, somebody who actually sounds genuine on the mic. Where there's Natalya, who I don't believe a word that comes out of her mouth. I don't understand why. Like, this is something we've covered a long time ago. Like, she just sounds so disingenuous on the mic. Or really just talking in general. But, man, they want to shoehorn Natalya into everything.
So something happened in Natalya's career. And so you can take the career of Cody, where there was this clear point of, like, you're going to be this. You're going to be this level, this amount of time on the show, this amount of money, this amount of wrestling dates until you're injured or want to leave. Like, this is the career trajectory. It is a good career trajectory. You'll be here a lot. You will have a name and a face. You will have security, as much as security as a wrestler can have, you know, but it is not bad. And Cody said, no, thank you.
Yeah.
I want more. I want it all.
Yeah.
Power to me. And went off. Natalya got essentially the same thing,
Yeah.
And was like, yep, okay.
Even, like, including, like, the Diva years.
Yeah.
Like.
Mm. Because Natalya had this kick upstart. She came into fruition. Mm-hmm. Like, she's there before, but she came into fruition with Bret Hart coming back at the height of Bret Hart is coming back excitement.
Mm-hmm.
So not the, like, 2 years later where it's like, oh, Bret showed up tonight. That's cool. I liked him. But that original, like, Bret Hart is here. Hell has frozen over.
Yeah.
And Natalya springs forth from that. Natalya is the one of two decent diva wrestlers in existence.
Yeah.
We're fighting and clamoring for a Natalya Beth Phoenix WrestleMania match.
Yeah.
Natalya puts out great stuff on NXT yeah. against Charlotte. Mm-hmm. We're like, she is, you know, and there's this, like,
that was the time that we saw, oh, this is what Natalya can do when you take the reins off of her.
Like, and like, that looked like Natalya was shooting for something big. Natalya yeah. looked to have a career trajectory similar to what Samoa Joe is doing now.
Yeah.
This monster level, you know, maybe not champion, maybe not face of the division, but this monster level.
Like the proving point.
Right. And something that's going to be a threat and a terror every mm-hmm. time it comes down after you.
Someone that, like, someone you have to face when that other opponent has to, like, see what they're like, if they're worth their medal.
Right.
You know.
And at some point, WWE was like, that's not where we're going right now. That's not what we're yeah. looking for. And it was just like, okay.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? We don't want that. You know, it'd be great. Cat ears.
Well, and the I don't know what happened, because she had talent and she had momentum. She had yeah. greatness sparked within her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's and not there anymore.
Now all that we get from anything Natalya related is color by numbers. You know?
Yeah.
Like, just sticking to the same formula that is real, like, mediocre, real lukewarm.
It's fine. It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, we have the Hell in a Cell match for the WWE Universal Championship with special guest referee Mick Foley. Roman Reigns versus Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman. I'm assuming Roman retains.
Yeah, I'm gonna give Roman retains. Honestly, I want Roman to retain because I don't want him to be chasing right now.
Yeah.
Like, you beat me. You figured out how to do it. You figured out how to get me to hope Roman holds on to that title. You've beat me into that submission. Why is Mick Foley there?
Because it's Hell in a Cell and it's 20th anniversary since his Hell in a Cell match.
But, like, why is Mick Foley there? Like,
yeah.
Again, if anybody's happy about this, it's me.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Hurrah is stuff
we
hurrahs.
We literally have one of his Mr. Sacco's hanging from our window above our heads right now.
Yeah. It's Mick Foley, and, you know, I will watch Mick Foley do anything and everything.
Right.
Because,
okay, anyone can sell a match, it's Mick Foley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? First and foremost. Which is why I'm wondering, why in the world did they wait so long to announce this?
Yeah.
They should have said something like, before the Go Home show?
How do you not insert that into the build-up in your match?
Yeah, at least last week, you know, like, at least give it a couple weeks where he can come out and fire everyone up like he was doing this past Monday night, you know? And he's really, like, look in the past, like, he's pretty good as a ref as far as, like, helping build drama.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, it just
like,
feels...
I mean... You know, personal preference, Mick Foley should have been champion 9 extra times.
Well, sure.
But if we're looking at it, Mick Foley is an unbelievable star at, you know, having somebody at a 9 and bringing them to a 10.
Yeah.
I mean, he...
And, you know, he can't do that as a competitor now.
Right.
But
he is able... He has figured out how to make that a transferable skill
yeah.
as a commentator or as a GM or as mm-hmm. a referee or as a commissioner or whatever. He's done it several different ways.
Sure. It's honestly, I see that as WWE just throwing everything at the wall to try to get fans into this match.
Yeah.
You know, whether that be for Roman or against Braun.
It genuinely, it comes down to this. That's the whole card, right?
No, we got three more matches.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me? All right, yep. Keep going.
All right. Daniel Bryan and Brie Bella versus Miz and Maryse in a mixed tag match. Why are you grabbing at your head so much?
Just do Daniel Bryan and The Miz at WrestleMania.
Right?
Just do Daniel Bryan and The Miz at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
If you do nothing, if those guys...
Well, they did announce that. I don't know if they announced it. Yeah, I think they did. I was trying to figure out if they had said it or it was leaked. But Daniel Bryan and Miz are facing off against each other at the Australia show. Winner is the new number one contender for the WWE Championship. At least that match. Again, that match has some consequences, had some reward in it.
Yes.
Has something that they're fighting for on top of their already building feud.
Yes.
And that's more exciting than the show that we have right here in front of our face.
Yes.
Just saying. So I'm expecting Miz and Maryse shenanigans.
Sure.
Again.
Yeah.
Now we have the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. The New Day versus Rusev and Aiden English. New Day.
New Day. Always pick New Day.
Yeah, 100%.
hasn't changed yet. Always pick New Day.
Yeah. And then finally, we've got the WWE Championship, AJ Styles versus Samoa Joe.
I will say, this single feud kicks me out of my stupor every time.
Sure, yeah, 100%.
These guys are knocking it out of the park.
Yes.
They are both on the top of their game, character-wise, in the ring-wise,
yeah. Everything that every bad thing that we've been saying for like the last 47 minutes on this podcast... Mm. We don't aim that at AJ Styles and Samoa Joe in any way. Same goes for like Becky Lynch, a little bit at Charlotte, but not at Becky Lynch.
No, that's like so. These guys, they had a disqualification decision in their last pay per view event.
Yeah,
in a way that I hate disqualification decisions. Like especially in pay per view events, where I'm like, no, this is where you find out something happens. You don't further your stupid storyline on the pay per view.
Right.
And they did it in a way where I was like, that is excellent. I'm not mad. I'm more invested than I was before.
And
I'm
could
excited
see
about
that,
we'll see what happens next.
I could see how that would parlay into a Hell in a Cell match.
Yes.
But it's not. It's another straight up and down vanilla, you know, just whitewashed, plain. I've forgot whatever adjectives that we gave whenever we were talking about TLC. But yeah, just a regular or Extreme Rules. A regular...
Oh yeah,
white bread.
I don't remember.
Peanut butter only.
It is. You can't just say that something is a big deal.
Yeah.
You can't point to something and say that is a big deal and make it so. You just like you have
like
you
Randy
have,
Orton
you
and
have
Jeff
to
Hardy.
Not even that. You have to make it a big deal.
Yeah.
That is, they have been pointing at Roman Reigns and saying big deal for 4 years now.
I'm sorry to correct you. It's
big
dog.
Dong. I thought about it as soon as I said. But you have Roman Reigns and the same thing with the Universal Championship. They're like top tier title.
Yep.
We have to creed it.
It's so top tier, it hasn't been on our show very much.
And here, over on the other hand, you have AJ Styles making himself a big deal.
Yeah.
Showing what a big deal feels like with the WWE title, which has years of big deal prestige buildup backing it in a match that feels like an emotional investment big deal.
Like it goes to something that, you know, we learn... as, you know, writers is, you know, show them, don't tell them.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're writing scripts. Like, you don't sit there and have a character just tell you exposition of background details over and over and over again.
Stephanie McMahon.
Right. You just show them. Yeah. Find a way to incorporate it in a entertaining way where you're not being beaten. Like, there was a character. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. It was an ABC show that was kind of a retelling of Count of Monte Cristo.
Revenge,
yes. There was a character. It was the boyfriend's mom or something. And her job every week was to recap, and she was just Miss Exposition.
Stephanie McMahon.
Yes. Like, every week, just not, like, at least a good 5-10 minute chunk was just explaining exposition, and it was infuriating, and it's unnecessary.
Well,
it's late. It's lazy.
It is.
It is.
And
that's what we've been getting.
And it's taking shortcuts.
Yes.
I get, you know what, I get the initial thought process behind Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
I get the, like, you know, talented, big, he looks good on a movie poster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would look like he could, you know, mm-hmm. save the day, fight an earthquake. Big, related to The Rock, mm-hmm. has this, you know, level of talent, this makings of a top-tier star. And I get we need a new title, and we need it to be on Raw, and we need a title that feels as equally big deal as the WWE. So I get the thought process, but you have taken these shortcuts every time. And
expecting the crowd to be with you every step of the way.
And to this day, there has still not been a gradual long-term build for Roman Reigns as a top-tier guy.
No.
Like, he is still effectively a top-tier guy because you have told me. And because I can play kayfabe, paper, rock, scissors, this guy beats that guy, and figure out, oh, Roman Reigns beats everybody.
Right.
But he still does not have the emotional investment that you have a guy like Daniel Bryan or Braun Strowman, mm-hmm. where, like, I've seen him do this week after week. I've seen him do this for 2 months. I've seen this. I don't know how he couldn't lose.
Yeah.
My only reasons, like when you're like, Roman Reigns is going in this, it's not, I saw him beat The Undertaker. I saw him beat Brock Lesnar. I don't know how he could lose this match. It's, I know he's going to win because
he wins all the time.
He's your guy. Yeah. You can't take these shortcuts in emotional, mm-hmm. long-term storytelling builds.
Right.
And it will never work, and you will always do it, and it will never work. And it comes down to this, and this is essentially where I see it. In soap operas are on TV 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Soap operas are designed in their story structure for nothing to happen in huge swaths of time, for you to be able to go on vacation for a week, miss your shows, miss 5 episodes of it, and then come back the next week and
be able to pick right back
and be
up.
Fine. Yeah.
Without having to binge watch through your DVR or anything.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just be able to pick back up. I mean, this soap opera format has been around since radio days.
Right.
You know, you would miss episodes all the time. You can't watch 5 episodes a day
when
consistently, never.
It's just cliffhangers all the time. But then there being some payoff
and
the payoff's never.
The great ones, the truly fantastic great ones, when it comes to soap operas, make you feel like the story is progressing in the heat of the moment, watching the show, and make you feel like you haven't missed anything if you haven't been watching for a little bit.
Yeah.
That is admittedly, like, not making fun of soap operas here. That is a very difficult balance to achieve, and the great ones that do it pull it off masterfully and are able to cater to both of those audiences. Mm-hmm. Well done. WWE is a soap opera.
Yeah.
And
always, you know, always building to another show, and it's supposed to have a payoff and start new things almost seamlessly.
Well, and
keeping you interested.
And you can't have that, oh, I missed last week, and so I'm out of the loop.
Yeah.
You can't have that. But WWE has expanded to the point where I don't think they know what to do with themselves anymore. Where we talk about, why can't we go back to the Monday Night Wars, where WWE had to fill a fraction of the time that they have to fill now.
Yeah.
They had a fraction of the roster. They have some of the most talented wrestlers that they're like, I guess we'll stick him. I guess he can manage this other wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, what do we do with him? You have this 205 Live thing that they can't get over because they can't figure out how to market it. This swath. And when they had the Cruiserweight Classic tournament got over great. Because you're like, here's 10 episodes, here's these guys. And they had matches, and they had storytelling, and they had rivalry development going through in 10 episodes where guys basically only fought each other once, where they had all of this stuff build and come out of that.
Yep.
And they just, they have so much stuff, and I feel like, and I complain about Roman, and this is not a retraction of any of those complaints, because I stand by all of them.
Right.
But I feel like there is almost this panic of, you know that thing where you're like, I have 20 things to do and 40 errands to run, and I have to be at work at this point, and I have 9 assignments due. This is too much. I need to get started on this. This calls for a nap.
Right, yeah.
It's too much. I'm just going to nap.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's almost...
Roman Reigns is the nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like... I'm going to say Vince, and I don't honestly mean like this is lay it at the feet of Vince. Vince is doing this. It's all Vince's fault. What it might be.
It is.
But just using Vince as the avatar for behind the scenes, Vince knows how to build a star. Vince has, or at least he feels like he does.
Yeah.
And it goes back to Vince built Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Vince and Hulk Hogan together as a duo did something unachievable, unattainable in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And he's never done that again. But he has tried. From your Lex Luger to your Stone Cold to your Bret Hart to your Shawn Michaels to your Stone Cold to your Rock to your, you know, going on down the line to Batista and John Cena and Triple H.
Yeah. Rock and Stone Cold are probably the closest
They are great and giant and different.
Yeah.
But part of it is you've already jumped over that hurdle. Wrestling became mainstream in a way that was hitherto impossible before Hulkamania was a thing.
Yeah.
So you can't re-break that ceiling because it's already broken. You're there. You've achieved it.
It's just like riding another wave with your major stars, you know.
But Vince knows how to build a star in that sense.
Yeah.
Because he did it...
Once. Oh, a few times.
Well, he did it once... But he did it once, unbelievably unachievable, and to the point that nobody could have possibly believed it.
Yeah.
He did it greater and truer, not than anybody has ever done, but that more than anybody has ever thought possible.
Yeah.
And so I think that comes down to this thing where we got to focus on Roman. We got to build Roman. Roman is the star. Roman has the makings of the star. Roman has the makings of what you can achieve at this level.
Yeah.
And you have these 40 other assignments. It's not even, you know, the Attitude Era where you're like, we got like 9 other storylines cooking. You have like, you know, we don't ever talk about the feuds that are going on Main Event. There's feuds happening on Main Event. People are fighting. There's story arcs.
All right.
We don't know anything about that nonsense.
No, Lord, no.
But you have these things like, you know, you have, I think you safely have 30 storylines happening.
Yeah.
And this is not even including, like, isn't Kevin Owens still feuding with Alex Riley technically?
Right.
All these weird abandoned, stuff, unresolved, who, you know, attacked Hideo Itami.
Yeah. Although they are, it seems like they're running with who attacked Aleister Black, which I appreciate.
Yes. But you have so many things, and I feel like there's too much. I'm going to take a nap, i.e. focus on making a star, making a grand over crossover, bust out of the mold star like I can do. And so your thing's like, all right, could we get a little bit of consistency in this Kevin Owens storyline? Kevin Owens quit. Kevin Owens has been tormented by Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
For months, these guys hate each other more than anybody on the planet. Why are they in a team right now? it's been a week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't, and I just feel like that, nope, that's too much.
Yeah, I agree. So I'm going to say AJ Styles wins.
Oh, did we not say I say AJ Styles wins as well?
All right, cool.
All right, do you have anything else?
No, I don't.
You tired?
I'm beat.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet when it's appropriate, one of which will be this Sunday. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I should add a disclaimer here. If you are only watching wrestling and you have no idea about weather interest.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
There is a massive storm, hurricane, headed towards
the Carolinas,
where we happen to be.
Yeah. Both north and south.
Yes. We have no idea what's going to happen. Assuming that there is power, assuming that we can safely get to a communal television,
yes.
Assuming that the internet is still active, mm-hmm. we will be live tweeting Hell in a Cell.
And if you just see tweets of us just saying "help us," then we
then help
a,
us.
Then we got a very faint, weak internet signal and need immediate help. But seriously, like, everybody out there, please stay safe.
Stay safe.
Get your supplies or get to a place where there are friends or loved ones that have supplies.
And if it is dangerous, I promise you, Hell in a Cell is not worth it.
No, Lord, no. Lord, no.
This is not the pay-per-view to be risking your life to make sure you have access to.
Yes. Also, again, if you're in those areas where you're going to be hit the hardest, go somewhere else.
Yes.
Like, honestly, that's probably the best thing for you. But yeah, if you have any questions, comments, anything you want to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Get a new episode every single week. Give us a rating of
5 stars
or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you are listening to us on insightpulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
Huzzah.